We are back in John chapter 3. If somebody can read the first 11 verses.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
Amen. And if somebody can read from 12 to verse 17.
If I had told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We bless you just for who you are, to know that you are God all by yourself, and besides you, there is none other. God, we pray that you just have your way on this line. We pray that you have your way on tonight. We pray that, oh God, we sit intently and listen to your word and what you have to say. Father God, you said in your word that he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, we thank you because you still speak, even in 2021. You are speaking to us. You're speaking to this world loud and clear. So, God, we pray that we open up our hearts to your word, to your will, to what you are saying. Oh, God, that, Lord, this is not just an ordinary Bible study, but it's word application. Help us by the aid of your Spirit to take what you say, to take what is taught, that we may apply it, make it applicable. Make this word become alive in us, that as we go into the highways, into the byways, as we live our lives and make decisions, oh God, God, that we will use discernment, that we will be led by you, that we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of who you are, that your word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we will receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That as John said, that we may decrease, that you may increase in our hearts. God, we love you, oh God, and we bless you, oh God. Deal with even me, the teacher, oh God, because you are the teacher. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Just want to talk about this John chapter 3 we want to look at tonight. We gave some homework last week. We talked about Christ prepares the heart. Last week, we talked about our position. We were dealing with last week, Matthew chapter 28, as you are going. when Jesus gave the great commission for us to go, ye therefore into all the earth. Amen. And one thing we talked about, a couple things we talked about last week, we talked about our position. We talked about it's Christ that wins the non-believer. It's Christ that wins the world. We talked about self-denial, co-crucifixion, and our death. And in our position, God gives the increase. Amen. And then we kind of talked about, we gave some homework. We talked about how Christ prepares a heart and the encounter with those who accept Christ. We're going to look at this first encounter. We are going to take a look at this first encounter, being that it was what we dealt with this morning. And that was of Nicodemus. So in John chapter 3 here, which we read this morning, the first thing on our sheet that we want to talk about, we talked about last week, Christ's encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was searching. He came by night, right? And so at the bottom of these here in Acts, so it says, whether it's foreign missions, whether it's street ministry, whether it's nursing home, prison, VBS, sports camp, even hospital visits, the principle of delegated authority must apply. It's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's what? By the Spirit. By his Spirit, saith the Lord. We have no power. Christ has all power. We are his vessels. Amen. And hopefully this month we'll get into the power of vesselship. Amen. I thought I was going to deal with tonight, but that's a word that you can just write down. Vesselship. We are called to the ministry of vesselship. That means it's not what we have externally that draws folks to Christ, but it's what we have on the inside for real that does the drawing to Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost in us that people take note of our change. And we're going to look at that with Nicodemus. Amen. When we may present the gospel thoroughly, lovingly, and the person whom we witness may hear it and choose to reject. And guess what? That person may choose to walk away. We are not responsible for their reaction if they walk away. Amen. But our responsibility is tell them. We still have to tell them. We still have to tell them that the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. There's a song we used to sing called Tell Them. Even if they don't believe you, just tell them. Even if they don't receive you, tell them for me and that I came to let them know. Amen. And so herein is God placed a quest of searching in the heart of Nicodemus. And when we see here Nicodemus, chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. And so he recognized the authority and the power and the preeminence of Christ. He recognized that God, Christ, even though he called him rabbi, but he recognized that he was no ordinary person. And even the miracles that he did, he said, for no man can do these miracles except thou be God, unless God be with you. You know, and you hear it said, some people say, well, he went to Christ by night because he feared. He didn't want his boys or the people of the Sanhedrin to see him conversing with Christ. Amen. And then some people say, well, you see him, he sought Jesus by night because he was questioning and he wanted to seek Christ by night. Amen. You hear both ways. The Bible doesn't necessarily say, I believe it's the first of he didn't want to create confusion, because one thing about it, Nicodemus stood up for Christ, even against with the high priest in John chapter 7. So I believe it was a combination. I believe it was a combination, but I also believe he sought one-on-one time to get with Christ, to seek Jesus by night, right? So it says here, That Jesus goes on to say in verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Because what we find out is Nicodemus did not understand spiritual things. The world won't understand why we do what we do. The world won't understand the things that we preach or the things that we teach. Amen. But one thing I know, there was evidence of who Christ was through the power. Nobody spake like him. And to do the miracles that he did, it was evident, it was apparent that there was something more. There was something more to life. There was something more to the search. There was something more to the truth. Amen. And so Nicodemus, Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And that word spirit is capital S. Amen. Which is the third person, or the God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, which really they're all equal in divine work, but they take different roles in the Godhead. And the spirit, the Paracletos, the helper, Jesus let him know, no man can enter into the kingdom of God. Right? And so we see in verse 5, he lets them know about the spirit. Verse 6, he goes on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Mm-hmm. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. And so we see here in verse 5, this the word spirit, capital S. We see here in verse 6, the word spirit, capital S, right? Mm-hmm. And you notice in verse 6, look at verse 6. Everybody read verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the spirit, capital S, mm-hmm. is what? Is spirit. And you notice how the first spirit is capitalized in the capital S. But the second spirit is a lowercase s. First spirit refers to God, right? The second spirit, when you're born again, refers to you, the spirit that's in you, your spirit. Amen? But you're in the spirit. So you see the difference here. And already, when he talks about the flesh and the spirit, we see the two natures. When he talks about the flesh and the spirit, we see the battle already. We see conception, right? We see conception. We see the two that live in the house. We see Isaac and we see Ishmael. We see the two are come in. Once the spirit comes in and you're born of the spirit of God, Christ now lives in you. And when you're born again for real and you're saved for real, guess what? You receive the deposit. You receive the seal of God. And you can never lose that. Amen. Now, people say, well, can you lose your salvation? I'm going to say you can't lose your salvation according to the word of God. According to Hebrews chapter 5 or Hebrews chapter 6. But my question, I beg the question is, maybe the person was never saved to begin with. Amen. Because once you're saved for real, that's the key. Two words, for real. You're always saved. Amen. And so we see here in verse 5, verse 6, and verse 8, he says, the wind bloweth in verse 8, where it listeth, and thou hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or whether it goeth. So is every man that is born of the capital S, born of the Spirit. Amen. And here, on our sheet, it says true evidence of salvation is the witness of the Spirit. John 3, 5, and 6, 3, 5, 6, and 8 all reference the capital S. John 3, 8, we just read. Our evidence, the Spirit of God that now lives in us, the Spirit of Christ, amen. Our evidence is the light of Christ. Not just a change. We have evidence. We have a true change. There's a change in the shifting of the guard. There's a change in the two natures where the old nature has to be put under subjection. And now we have a new captain living in us. But guess what, y'all? Our greatest battle is right here. Not only do we see it in Romans chapter 7, but we see it right here. Right? The Bible says, walk in the Spirit that you might not be led by the flesh. So we see it. We have to walk in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk upright in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? After the Spirit. And so we see that here, right? And our evidence, that's evidence. We have to have evidence. We have to have a mark, a signifying change, that there's impact. There's something different about you, that there's been a change from the inside out. Amen. Our evidence is the light of Christ. Not just a change when things are going good, but even when things are going bad, we have an anchor from above. Amen. That we can't just go back and do what the world does. We can't live like other people live. We can't just say things in our mouth. I'm not saying we're perfect, but there ought to be a growing pattern. There ought to be evidence that somebody can see a change in your life. Amen. Our life is from above. Colossians chapter 3. And this is what Nicodemus had to come to grips with. And this is what Nicodemus could not understand. And we're going to get there. We're going to take a look at verse 12. But verse chapter 3 in Colossians says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where? Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth. For you are what? Dead. You're dead to the old man. You're dead to the things of this world. You have a new life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen? And the Spirit, and we see the difference of a life change. That you're saved for real. And they're, and I don't believe a man or a woman can accept Christ. And you change for a little bit, for a month, but ultimately you just continue to do the same things you do. You continue to shack. You continue to lie. You continue to hold unforgiveness. You can't continue in sin. That's a contradiction. That's called insanity. Amen. You can't, if there's no evidence, the Bible says the foundation of the world standing sure in 2 Timothy, I believe 3:15, having this seal that those who have named the name of Jesus have departed from iniquity. Amen. And so we have an anchor. We have the word of God. Our life is from above. And we can't go back. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This is the difference between the spirit of religion and the spirit of being saved for real. Right? We talk about this new life and the Spirit of Christ working in you. It's the Spirit that grabs hold of the word that brings change in a man's life. And it's the word of God that we grow. We receive the word of God with meekness, the engrafted word. And it brings about change. There's a word called application. That when you're saved for real, there'd be application where the word is applied in my life, where the word is applied. We don't just go to church, listen to the preacher, clap our hands, listen to the choir, right? But there'd be a change where the word is brought back and produced. It's applied. It's instituted in our life. It's instituted in my marriage. It's instituted in my home. It's instituted in me raising my children. The word is applied. It has to be applied on the inside. Amen. We're talking about putting on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, right? And taking the spirit, the sword of the spirit, which is the what? The word of God, that the word of God can come in and work on us. That the word of God can cut the things that don't need to be there. That the word of God can challenge us. That the word of God can convict us. Amen. And I thank God for this morning. I thank God for every morning. But especially when we get up and get in the word. And we got up and got in the word this morning. And we had prayer. And we had prayer again at 9:45. We have to continue in the word. That this word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And then I'm going on the way to work and I'm getting this verse over and over again. It talks about in Thessalonians, where it talks about that man ought to always pray. And that we ought to continue in prayer over and over again. And that's a lifestyle that even when we get up, even when we hung up the phone, even when we get off our knees to start our day, to get dressed, but we get up, we get dressed. Guess what? The word is still reverberating. The word is still working. Amen. And many people are depressed. Many people only think about what they got to do. Many people are anxious. Many people are bothered by what's going on in the word. But it's the word. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his word. In his word, does he what? Meditate. How? Day and night. Listen, you don't need a Brahm. You don't need a Buddha. Amen. You don't need Confucius. You don't need yoga. But listen, we meditate on the word. And the word gets engrafted on the inside. And guess what? I was meditating on the word all day long. And as we meditate, we go through our day. Guess what? And y'all, listen. You know what the word does? The word takes us as it's applied. So when we talk about, John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or whether it goeth. Holy Ghost. That lives in us. And as the Holy Ghost lives in us, the natural man, the people we work with that don't know Christ, they don't know what it is that is our fuel. They don't know what it is that motivates us. So everyone that is born of the Spirit, amen, we're led by a higher calling. We're led by the Lord from up above. We're no longer down here operating. Amen. Christ has come to elevate us. He's come to elevate us from the mundane. Amen. We've got to know what we have. We've got to know who we are. We've got to know who we belong to. We've got to know the weapons that we have that we don't have to walk around. And can't nobody tell what's on the inside of us. How in the world can you work on a job for 30 years? And you've been a deacon for years. And I go to a job and say, yeah, is this deacon such and such and such and such. He's been a deacon in the community for 10, 20 years. And the people should not be shocked their response, or she's been a Sunday school teacher, amen, for 15 years. Mm-hmm. They should be able to see something that matches up with your life, that testifies of who you are. We don't live here. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Our life is seated with Christ. Our life is hid with Christ. We get our orders from Christ. We get our joy from Christ. Our love, our peace, and our contentment comes from up above. And this is what Christ was referring to when he was talking to Nicodemus. Amen. God is good, ain't he? Amen. He's a stronghold.
Yes, sir.
In the day of trouble. I just thank God for who he is. Amen. So here we're going to keep on going. Our life is from above, right? And so this is what we're talking about. This is what he was talking to Nicodemus about in John 3:8, where, listen, we have something in us. You listen, you can't see the wind. You can't visibly look at the wind. You can't tell where the wind is going, but you see the evidence. Listen, you can't see the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Guess what? But you see the evidence. Community Baptist Church, there ought to be evidence that we can't just blend in with everybody else. There ought to be evidence. And I'm not talking about a standoffish spirit, where you just stand off from everybody else and you just turn down your nose at everybody talking about how holy you are. Amen. But it's an evidence that your heart, like Christ, can be sensitive, can share the burden and the weight of people. Even people that are sinners, we see Christ. He went amongst the sinners. Not that they win you. Not that you sit on the same bar stool with that brother and you drink along with him to talk about you winning him to Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about true change, where you're in there, they know who you are, they respect you, they hide their beard. Hey, man, anybody been there? Hide their cigarette. Hide their, oh, excuse me, Brad. That's all right. Don't put it away now. So listen. No man know where the wind bloweth. Nowhere know where it listens. No man can hear the sound. What is it about this brother? What is it about this sister? It's Christ. She's born of the Spirit. And that's what it is. We're distinct children, young people. We're distinct. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar nation. We ought not act like and look like and try to be like everybody else. And guess what, y'all? That's the word, this word. 1 Peter 2:9. Is it 1 Peter 2:9? Chosen generation, royal priesthood, peculiar nation. Show forth praises of him who called us where? Out of what? Darkness. Into the marvelous light. And it's our change. It's our change from what we used to be. That's what's going to draw people to Christ. It's our change. After we've been regenerated and our sanctification, that we can grow. Not to be standoffish, but people can see change, and that's what grows people to Christ. James 3:15, we talk about what we have from above, right? This wisdom descendeth not from above. Let's turn to James 3. Let's start with 13. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show forth out of what? A good conversation. His works with what? Meekness and of wisdom. So he has to have a good conversation. Your conversation is different. Guess what? You show forth your change by the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, if you have strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, what? Descendeth not from above, but it's what? Earthly.
Sensual.
Is sensual, is devilish. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil word. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Now see, we're talking about, he's talking about the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We see the flesh here. That which is born of the spirit is what?
Spirit.
Right? And so, and guess what? The wisdom that is from above is pure. easy to be entreated, full of mercy, of good fruits. Listen, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Everything I got, everything I have comes from up above. I have nothing that comes from this earth but the clothes on my back and a few pennies in the bank. A few pennies. Everything we have a whole life. Guess what? It comes from above. Natural looks for natural. Natural seeks natural. Earthly seeks earthly. But those that are of the Spirit, we're going to turn there too. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Know the things of a man. And we know the deep things of God. And it's the deep things of God. Guess what? That's the well that we draw out of for fulfillment. That's our fulfillment. That's what I don't need. Listen, you're talking about fulfillment. We're talking about the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. We don't get it in a bottle. And people look for things from this world to lift their spirits. What is that? I need something to lift my spirits. Wine and spirits. Why do you think it's called wine and spirits? You know why? Because guess what? When you're not born again, you have a spirit, but it's not the Spirit. And guess what? Everything that drives a person that's not saved or rooted and grounded in Christ, you're led by different spirits. You're led by how you feel. You're led by how you wake up. You're led by everything else. That's the natural man. Amen? And verse 18, James 3 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them. Hallelujah. Them that make peace. Are you a peacemaker? Ask yourself a question. Listen. Are you meek? Do you display meekness? Do you display gentleness? Are you easy to be entreated? Or people like, I ain't talking to her. She just looked mean. We got to be people in the church that are entreatable, that are approachable, that are meek. Man, look, I was walking in the city yesterday and a man just stopped me out the blue. And guess what? God opened up a door. Everybody's walking past. Amen. But God opened up a doorway. Talk to this young brother that was from Baltimore about the love of Christ. And he came up to me talking about the man. But I let him know about God, the Father, and God the Son. I let him know about Christ. And at the end, listen. And we just began to talk. I didn't beat him up, but I helped him out. And guess what? We began to talk about Christ, the wages of sin, and making sure he knew Christ. So when we look at that, verse 12, let's drop down to John chapter 3, verse 12. It says, I have told you, he's still talking to Nicodemus, earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Amen? And so Nicodemus could not understand heavenly things without the Spirit. He could not understand heavenly things without the Spirit of Christ. And one thing I want to talk about real quick is when we look at this verse, the wind bloweth where it listeth and heareth the sound thereof, but no man can tell where it comes from, whether it goeth. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. When we talk about being born again, right? Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God. And there's a lot of debate going on these days about the foreknowledge of God. And those that talk about election or predestination. And people will say, there's some people out there that think when Nicodemus, eventually he accepted Christ, he believed who he was. And there's some or that really are stuck on election and stuck on foreknowledge and predestination. And they're preach a message that's catered toward those that already know Christ. Because they figure that, guess what? We ain't got to sweat. I ain't got to holler. We ain't got to go out on the street. We're going to open up a church and preach to those who come in. Because if God wants them saved, they're going to get saved. That is bad theology. Amen. That is bad theology. And we got to know that even though, listen, y'all listen, even though God has predestinated. We talk about Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8, 28. For we know all things work together for the good of them who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, to them he also did predestinate that we should be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, that's Christ that is, of many brethren. Moreover, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The Bible said, talks about, I believe in Peter, how God ordained or called us, predestinated us, even before the foundation of the world. And what we find out is, yes, if God did not know who was going to accept him and who was going to reject him, he would not be God. He would not be God. If God just made everybody and he said, I'm giving everybody free will, some people are going to accept me and some people are going to reject me. And him not know, right, what we're going to do, then he would not be God. He would not be the God of the Bible. He would not be all powerful. He would not be all omnipotent. He would not be all omniscient, right? So, but what we know is, although God knows who's going to come to the saving knowledge of him, guess what? We don't know. And because God has given us free will, we still have a choice to make. And the Bible says, without a preacher, how can they hear? And the Bible also says that the preaching of the gospel to them that perish is what? Foolish. But to us who are what? Saved, it is the power of God. We still don't have any power to save ourselves. Sure. It's because we've heeded, we've submitted to his call where he's come into our hearts. We still have a choice to make. Amen? So don't get trapped up into thinking that, well, if God want me delivered, he know I'm going to get delivered. Mm-hmm. That is from the pit of hell. If God want me saved, he know who's going to get saved since he's all-knowing. Amen. Don't believe it. You still have a choice to make. And people, we hear people teaching that theology. And there's a preacher who really, every message I listen to, he brings up the element of election and predestination. You know what I mean? And we have to be careful that we don't get tripped up to know that we still have a choice. We're still free moral agents. God didn't make robots. We were talking about predestination, right? And we were talking about that. Listen, this is why we can't get caught up into that. Because the Bible says in John 3:17, here in our text, it says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, right? But he sent his son into the world that the world through him might be saved. So the reason for Christ coming was not to condemn us, but the reason for Christ coming is that we might be saved. Amen. God could not be God without foreknowing what was going to happen. Amen. And guess what, y'all? God has foreknowledge. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. And guess what? Satan is not. Satan knows how to kind of get around and work and operate off our thoughts and things like that. But he knows the Bible, right? But he's not God. He's not God. But Satan will work in your life or work in unbelievers' lives to try to prevent them from accepting the gospel. And then people who accept Christ, what he tries to do is he tries to keep us bound to the things of this world, so our light won't shine and more people around us, like our family, our children, and our spouses, won't get saved. The Bible also says, and I believe 1 Peter, it says, God is not slack, as some men count slackness. But he's what? Long-suffering. Not willing that what? Any should perish. all should come to repentance. Right? God is not a man that he should lie. Amen? And I believe it's not God's desire that anybody goes to hell. Hell was not created for us. Hell was created for the devil and what? And his angels. Amen? So we need to know that although God knows who's going to accept and who's going to reject, we still have a choice to make in our hearts. It's important that we understand the doctrine of predestination and the doctrine of foreknowledge. Amen? Verse 13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so we see here his discourse with Nicodemus to talk about, first of all, our salvation. Amen. Second, he really talks about our sanctification. And he talks about the Spirit and how we're to be led by the Spirit and not by our flesh. Then he talks about no man can ascend but Christ. The reason why Christ came down is to save us. It's number one. And number two, the reason why Christ died is to take our place in death. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he's come not just to save us, but to replace us, that he may live this life instead of us. He didn't come to fix us up. He didn't come to clean us up, give us a bath, and put us on Oprah's makeover show. We're going to make you over. And there's people that have been made over. They're going to get a makeover. What in the world can they do with the inside? What in the world can they do with the spirit of rejection? What in the world can they do with the spirit of habitual sins? Or their father walked out? Or a spirit of unforgiveness? A makeover, a change, absent of replacement, cannot deal with the problems, the depression. People are depressed. People are anxious. People are going through. People are bound. Getting your hair done. Making yourself up. Yes, that stuff is great. But no amount of fixing up this flesh has any delivering power to fix you up on the inside. Amen. But when you know who you are in Christ, it don't matter. It don't matter. Guess what? You want to look nice. Do your best. Look your best, feel your best, but at the end of the day, you've got to be delivered from the inside out. And that's what the devil is doing, y'all. He's giving people up. People are chasing their tails, drawing the wind, chasing and running after things, thinking that will fulfill them. But there's nothing in this whole entire world that can fulfill us or sustain us. And Herman is talking about this on Sunday. We're caught up in the chase. We're caught up in the pursuit. And I remember, I'm telling you, once I get here in my life, once I get this house, once I get this car, once I get this education, once I get my master's degree, and I'm not saying, listen, all that stuff is good. But you've got to know who you are first. Amen? And guess what? You try to get this. You try to get married. You try to get this. And then when you got it, you'll be like, that's all it was. Because this world, this life can't sustain you. You've got to know we are complete in Christ. We already have it. We already have him. We've got to grow in who we have. And who we are and what he's afforded to us through his son and through his death on Calvary. Let's look at the book of Numbers 21. So when Jesus says here, back, I'm going to go back to John 13, John chapter 3, 13, John chapter 3, 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now he's on the earth talking to Nicodemus, talking about he came down from heaven, right? And not only did he come down from heaven, but he even refers to himself as still being in heaven. And he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, the brass serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And y'all, as we read this, listen, I'm encountering people. I'm running into people. I'm watching the news. And when you read this description, this is the description of sinful man. This is a description of the state of man. This is the description, and I put here on our sheet that, guess what? Before Christ, without Christ, we are poisonously vexed. Poisonously vexed. And so he says here, listen, the shout won't cut it. Me preaching and levitating on the ground to do miracles and $50 lines and $20 lines and $30 lines, none of that stuff will do it in the church. Amen? It can't satisfy the soul. And this was the soul of the people, although they saw the miracles. They saw manna fall from heaven. They saw Pharaoh and his Navy SEALs, his best soldiers, drown in the Red Sea. They saw all that. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God. We're living in a world when you see a statue made after a man out of gold that people want to worship. People are looking for something to satisfy their flesh. And the spirit of rebelliousness is in the heart of man. Whether it's the insurrection, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's rebellion, it's all rooted in sin. And so he said here, he said they became very discouraged. They spoke against God and against Moses. You have brought us up out here to die in the wilderness. For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe their flesh. That's what that means. Their flesh, we're tired of this worthless bread. So the Lord was angry, and he sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and many of the people in Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses. Moses, we have sinned. And I'm telling you, it's not that God's hands are too short to hear us or to help us, but it's our sin that have separated us from a holy God. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them, heal their land. That's where our healing's gonna come from. Our healing ain't gonna come from a vaccine. Our healing ain't gonna come from that. Our healing's gonna come when we repent and cry out to say, Jesus, we need you, and turn. And you gotta turn. You can't just say lip service. It's got to be actionable and applicable that you have to grow from a life of sin. He said, we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord. Moses, intercede, who was a type of Christ, prayed to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. When he looks at it, how can a man look at a snake on a pole and live? by faith, by faith to obey what he says do. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about John 3:16, right, we says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to believe him, we have to turn from our sin, and we have to take him by faith. Amen. And let me back up. And Moses lifted up the serpent. I'm back in John 3:14. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that was a foreshadowing to remove the wrath of God from off the people in the wilderness, to remove the wrath of God from us that are living in this day. The only answer we have is Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. He's the only way. He's the living way. He's our only hope that we have is choosing Christ. And so here he says, verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. And the only way those people got saved is by Moses interceding. God gave them the instructions through their obedient faith. Mm-hmm. Look, and they would live. And that living ain't talking about living your best life, but it's talking about living supernaturally in the power of Christ. For when Christ, who is our life, amen, we shall also appear with him in glory. Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have what? Life. I got life. Abundant life. I got life. And I love the life that I have because it's a life that he's been giving me. Because I one day was in my sin. I one day was in my stuff at camp, 13 years old. And the gospel message was hurled. And I took heed, not because of me and my strength, but it was God that did it. Man. It was him that opened up my heart that I might accept and receive him as we submit and heed it to his call. We have two choices, two roles, two natures. Either we accept him or we reject him. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We were condemned already. Turn to John 3:36, same chapter. We're going to the very last verse. The God of this world, the God of this age, have blinded the minds of people. He's blinded the minds of people with stuff, with pleasure, with all these gambling sites. They got gambling everywhere you look at. With sensual appetites, with Facebook, with internet, with everything he can, he's blind us to distract us, to do a sleight of hand, to take our attention off of God, and to put our focus on our flesh. Amen? He's a deceiver, and he's a liar. And when he does that and keeps people in sin, keeps people from accepting Christ, keeps people in bondage, guess what? The wrath is still on their head. The wrath is still on their head. John 3:36 says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God. Everybody that's unsaved, your boss, your coworkers, people in your family that may not know Christ, guess what? The wrath of God is still on them. The poisonous vexation where the people were bit up in the wilderness, the poison is still in their veins. It's still on them. And that's why, as a church, as a people, we must be in position to be used by God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the world, from the earth, I will draw him. He must be lifted up in us. When John says in verse 29, verse 30, that he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above, and he says it again, he that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly. And speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless you because you are high, you are holy, you are righteous, you are omnipotent, you are omniscient, oh God. You rule and you reign even over our lives. Even going through this pandemic, the sickness that was caused by even our sin, because man in his regenerate heart has turned from you. Over and over again, oh God, you try to get our attention to let us know that you are speaking to us. And you remind us that, oh God, you said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. God, we thank you, oh God, to know that we've been delivered. To know that, Lord, we've been set free. You've loosed our shackles. And we thank you, oh God, because as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, God, you lifted up your son on that cross because he perfectly submitted to you to take the weight of the sin of the world. Oh God, and as he died on that cross, you turned your back because you said in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father. Bruise the son. Oh God, so we thank you. Oh God, there was a seething pot of wrath that was stored up of condemnation, that was stored up of rebellion, that was stored up of sin, that was poured out onto your son on that cross. It should have been us. But God, we thank you, oh God, for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. But it is a gift of God. We thank you. We didn't save ourselves. But God, you saved us. You knocked on the doors of our heart. God, and you came in to rescue us from a life of sin. God, we love you. We bless you. And when we think about what you've done, when we get in your word, it can only help us beg the question, why? Who are we? Why would you save us? Why would you offer up your best? Why would you offer up your only begotten son? There must have been something that was worth the love that you have for us to save us. It was nothing worth in us, no good of our own. But you saw what we could be in you. And so, God, we thank you. Jesus, we bless you. And we praise your name. Help us to grow in this. Help us to grow in that salvation, grow in regeneration, grow in our sanctification, that you will continue to conform us to your very image. Paul saw it. The more he suffered, the more your presence was turned up, the more your fruit was turned up in his life, that he could say, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, even to be made conformable to your very death. Help us, oh God. Even the devil, oh God, he's under our feet. Every curse, hex, vex, every generational curse, territorial spirit, where the enemy wants to come in and rob us of your word. God, we bind and rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that people grow. We pray that binders come off. We pray that shackles come off. We pray that handcuffs come off. We pray that bondage come off. We pray that strongholds come off. We thank you because you became a curse. You took our place. Help us to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To pull down strongholds, everybody on this line, even in our church, even in our community, even in other churches, we pray for a revival, oh God, that we will know who we are. And God, help us to be the light to unsaved family members, to people we come into contact with. That must have impact, not from us, but the power that's in us. God, help us. God, that we will be in position, that we will be that vessel that you've called and created for us to be. We pray, we plead the blood. We pray your anointing and we pray your covering. Go with us, oh God. Be with us. Search our hearts. And if there's something that was said that pricks us, we confess them things over to you. God, that we give it to you, that your blood will cover. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name. And for it's sake, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen.